Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and motivated by what you hear tonight. If you would like to join other listeners in the live chat room, go to www.wingsofprophecy.com and click on the live chat tab. Now here's your host, Glenda Lankus.
Addiction. Its reach is far and wide, its claws long and sharp, and its grip merciless. Over the years and throughout the course of this ministry, it's one of the questions I've been asked many times by many different people. My son is using drugs and stealing from me. What can I do to stop him? My daughter is meeting strangers online to have sex. How can I help her? My husband is gambling our entire income away. Where can we go for help? My wife is washing everything down with a glass of wine, including our marriage. What can I say to her? I can't stop eating, and I can't even begin to look in the mirror. What can I do? Sports, hobbies, gambling, shopping, pornography, work, even romance. Just about anything can be addictive. Years ago, around the year 2000, I was praying for someone I loved who was really struggling with everyday life. And an open vision came to me. And I saw a terrible creature with its claws embedded in this person's chest. And underneath its claws were fish hook shaped, and they had barbs at the end, like fish hooks where you couldn't draw them out easily. And I could see that the person was trying to get free, and whenever the person would try to free themselves, the creature would shake them, and the wounds underneath the claws that the claws were embedded in were already festering. They were already infected. It looked horribly painful, and the creature had kind of like needles in its nose, and it would stick the person and scream. And I could see that the harder the person fought to get free, the harder the creature fought to hold the addiction in place. And I prayed after I had the vision. I said, Lord, what was that? What did you just show me? And it wasn't until the next day that he answered me. And he said, its name is addiction. And then he proceeded to give me revelations about addiction, which are probably not great revelations to most people, but they seemed like to me. One of the things that he showed me is that if your life has no joy, no happiness, that anything that brings you comfort or a little bit of happiness can cause you to start returning to again and again and again just to get that little bit of happiness because it's all you have. So, how do we break free from the hold of addiction? Or how do we help someone we love break free from the hold of addiction? The answer can only come with a few more questions and a lot more understanding. First, we have to ask, what is addiction? Addiction is the quality or condition of being addicted, and especially to a habit-forming substance. And I might add, or behavior, because in some cases it is a behavior, like gambling, shopping, sex. A key word in that definition, condition, the condition of being addicted. I want to stop just for a minute. The Lord has a word for someone. There's a man listening to the sound of my voice, and you are in your mid to late 30s, and you have got a severe addiction of some type, and you have actually been planning to take your life because you believe that it's hopeless and that you will never be free. And the Lord says it is not by accident that you are hearing this program, but by His design, and that He will set you free tonight. Okay. If we look up the word addicted, we find it defined as to devote or give oneself habitually or compulsively. To cause to become compulsively or physiologically dependent on a habit-forming substance. The key words here are devote, give, and cause. To cause to become. Drugs, immoral sex, booze, even gambling and shopping and overeating, these are not the cause of addiction. Addiction is actually a condition that causes people to use drugs, have immoral sex, overeat, gamble, and overshop. All habit-forming substances or behaviors. The condition of addiction is caused by a lack of true and real substance. It is caused by a lack of real, substantial truth. The condition of addiction is just an outward reflection of something that is wrong inward. Imagine for a minute that your front yard is your life. You water the lawn, plant beautiful flowers, and you trim the hedges. You constantly tend and take care of it. Then one day, stepping out your front door, you find a huge sinkhole has opened up right in the middle of your beautiful, carefully tended yard. You bring in a dump truck full of dirt and dump it down the hole, but it does no good. It just sinks slowly down into the deep hole and disappears. You bring in a truckload of gravel and pour down the hole over the dirt. Still no good. The gravel sinks right down the hole. Finally, you bring in a load of boulders. Boulders so big that when you push them down the hole, they become wedged in enough to block most of it. They still don't quite fill the hole. Just like the void that is addiction, that sinkhole opened up because there was an empty place beneath the surface. There was no solid, real substance deep down. The drugs, dirt, gravel, no matter what we put or pour into the addiction, the void is still there, and it will remain a void in our lives until it finally voids our lives if it's left untreated. No matter what I say or can tell you, you can't really understand the word until you understand its way. Addiction isn't just a way of life. It is a lifestyle that leads the way to death. And just like it, there is another way that leads the way to death. It's called sin. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is a lifestyle that leads the way to death. Addiction and sin are one and the same. And you know, sin kills everything it touches. Its wages are always death. Genesis 4:7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And this was in the context of Cain and Abel's sacrifices. Cain's sacrifice was rejected and Abel's was received. And Cain was very wroth over that and he killed his brother over it. Sin crouches at our doors at all times. And it does desire to have us and it desires to rule over us. And it desires for us to become slaves of it. Sin, like addiction, desires to make you its slave. There's a song by Casting Crowns. I can't remember the title of it right now, but part of the lyrics talk about one day you're a prince and the next day you're a slave. And I thought that is just so true. Okay, I want to talk for a minute about the law of first mention. The law of first mention is known among people who study the word that whenever you get ready to do like a word study, like if you're studying the word sin, you go to the first place it's mentioned, and somewhere in that verse or that scripture, it will tell you something special about that word that you're studying. The first mention of sin actually talks about addiction and what it is. Sin is right outside our door. It's in our yard. It is a sinkhole, a void that wants nothing more than to void our life. But if we do what is right, if we make our home on land with a real solid substance beneath it, a real foundation, if we live through Jesus Christ and allow Him to live through us with the real solid substance that is the Holy Spirit, we can rule over our addictions just as Jesus ruled over sin on the cross. When that addict is in your mirror staring back at you, when you struggle with addiction deep down inside, it really is as simple as just saying Jesus. That's a one-word prayer, y'all. Back in my early 20s, I was in a time of a very different marriage than I am now. My two children were small, and I was in a very abusive marriage, and we lived on the Texas Gulf Coast, and the abuse had gotten very bad. And, you know, if you're in an abusive relationship, you'll probably hear abusive women will tell you that, you know, okay, this time it got worse for a while. It got, you know, it doesn't ever get very much better usually, but sometimes it will get worse. Well, this was one of the times when it got worse. And I was really struggling with suicidal thoughts, but I was determined I was not going to take myself out and leave my poor little kids in that terrible predicament. Two little helpless children. No matter how much pain I was in or how miserable I was, so I started to drink. And I never was a beer drinker, and I went straight for a straight vodka. And my father was an alcoholic, and my grandfather before him was an alcoholic, so I already had the genetics for it. And I remember after a few months of drinking straight vodka at night and using it to try to, you know, ease the pain a little bit and deal with how miserable our lives were. I remember going to, I don't know, Walmart or someplace like a Walmart that would have been in the early 80s, and having one of those $5 family portraits made. You did the $5 thing because that way they could get you back and give you a sales pitch to try to sell you another, you know, $500 worth of photos. But we would have those occasionally just so we'd have some record of our children's childhood, because we were so broke, so completely impoverished that we had very few pictures of them as they grew up. So this was a time that we went and took a portrait of us as a family. And I will never forget when I went down to pick out the portrait that we got for the $5, looking at those pictures and seeing my red, puffy skin, which I recognized rather well from having seen my father's skin like that for so many years. And I realized what I was looking at, and that if I didn't stop, there would come a day when I wouldn't be able to. And I went home that evening and looked in the mirror, and I did see an addict looking back at me. I saw an alcoholic in the making looking back at me. And I stopped. Thank God I stopped. And there were times later when I drank, but never like that. Never like during that time period. And I didn't know Jesus then. I just knew that my life hurt, that I was in despair all the time, and I felt very helpless, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know how to survive it, and I knew I couldn't check out of it, so I didn't know what to do. Thank God I didn't know how much longer it'd be before I got out. Addiction is what happens when our lives are not enough joy, not enough happiness, not enough purpose, not enough Jesus. And you know, during that time in my early 20s, I remember very clearly many what I call door knockers coming to our house there on the coast, trying to witness. And, of course, I ran them all off, having no idea that what they were trying to tell me about was the very thing I needed most. It was Jesus. But even then, Jesus was trying to reach me. Addiction happens when life isn't enough, and salvation comes when life is too much. It really is as simple as closing your eyes and opening your heart and asking Jesus to fill that void with his love and with his mercy. Ask him for that real solid substance, the Holy Spirit. When I finally did give my life to Christ, it was in 1996, which was probably about 13 or 15 years later after all that happened. And he gave me such peace. I had peace that I had never found in a bottle. Never found in any pill, never found in any anything like the peace he gives. And I still have it. 17 years later, y'all, I've still got it. And if anything, it's increasing. He will take over all the hard parts of your life. He'll take over all the hard decisions. And he'll guide you in which way that you should go. And if you rely completely on him, he'll provide for you. He'll protect your family. I mean, he does so many things. It's an endless list. He can change situations in your life you have no hope at all of changing on your own. So, what do we do if the addict is our son or daughter? How do we live with a spouse in the grip of addiction? I've had to answer that question before. My first husband was an alcoholic. And it is an insane and very painful way to live. I grew up seeing it in my father, so it wasn't a totally strange situation to me, but it had the addition of physical abuse. So how do we live with a husband or a wife in the grip of addiction? We do it just like Jesus. We have to remember that addiction isn't a monkey on their back. It's a demon living deep within them, we have to remember that that addict is our son, our daughter, our spouse, or our loved one. We have to remember that what they're doing is not who they are. And we cannot forget that in the same way, we are the sons and daughters of God. And just as He forgives us, we must also forgive. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In remembering who the addict is, seeing who they really are, think about this for just a second. The definition of addict is a devoted believer or follower. And a synonym of addict is wedded to. In remembering who the addict is, we cannot forget who we are. Devoted believers and followers, brides of Christ. If you have ever lived with an addict, though, or you know one, you know that all of this is easier said than done. Addicts can be the most selfish, self-centered, self-serving, and I could go on and on kind of people. And if you have been through that experience, I'm sure I don't need to elaborate on that. But then, how must we appear to God when we are living a lifestyle of sin? After all He did for us. It's going to be hard, but doing what is right often is. Paul in Acts said that we must go through much hardship and tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. This, after he was nearly stoned to death by the crowds from Antioch and Iconium, and left for dead. In Acts 14:18-20. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. When Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 18:21, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven. Jesus said to him, no, 70 times seven. Matthew 18:21-22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. The very worst thing we can do when someone we love is an addict is to give up on them. I remember being in Midland, Texas, on a job near the end of 1997. And I was standing in line. It was Christmas shopping season, and I was standing in line in some store. I don't know where it was. I think it might have been a Walmart, but I could be wrong. In some store, and there was a lady ahead of me talking to another lady, and she was telling this other lady how her son had just gotten in trouble again. And he was like 17 or 18 years old, and that she was just giving up on him. And I wanted to throw myself at that woman's feet and beg her not to do that. But I had no idea who she was, and I knew she would think I was crazy. They'd call security and probably escort me out of the store. But I wanted so bad to beg her not to give up on her own child. And every time I remember that conversation, I pray again for that child. Just imagine if God had given up on us. What if He had given up on us instead of sending Jesus? And you know, think about this, y'all. We tend to give up when we don't know what else to do. But we have to remember, God always knows something else to do. He will make a way when there is no way. He's the one who parted the Red Sea. He's the one who rained manna down from heaven when there was no food in the wilderness. God will make a way when we can see no way with our eyes. But not giving up on an addict does not mean giving in to them. Let's be real clear about that. In fact, with an addict, you cannot give in. Some tough love, the put them in a headlock kind of love, will be required. Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And prayer. A lot of prayer will be required. You know, God told me years ago, I asked him one time, I said, Lord, how come sometimes I can pray one time for something and it'll be answered, and sometimes I've got to pray for years for something else or for someone? What is the deal with that? And he said that especially when you're praying for someone else, it depends on how much darkness surrounds that person. So the more darkness surrounds them, especially like if they've been in addiction for 2 or 3 years or something like that, there's going to be a lot of darkness there, a lot of demons, you know, that are attached to them by then. So you're going to have to pray longer. Doesn't mean the prayer won't work, just means you got to keep praying. The word addiction comes from a Latin word meaning to sentence. Sin and addiction. The words may be different, but the result is the same. Death. Both are death sentences. Be it death by too much or death by not enough. Father, we come to you right now for every son, daughter, husband, and wife in the grip of addiction. We raise ourselves to you, Lord, if we have an addiction problem. Every loved one we cover in this prayer. We ask that you reach your hand out to them so that they may be able to hand over to you their addiction, that they may be able to let go of their lifestyles of sin. Lord, we ask that you would fill every void with the real rock-solid substance that is your Spirit. We ask you, Lord, to break the hold of addiction and to release those we love. Lift the sentence of death. Void the death sentence and lead them in a new way of life. We ask this in faith and in full confidence of your word, the rock-solid substance that is your word. We ask, Lord, that you would save each of these and also reach through them and save those around them, Lord God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Bless every listener tonight, Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening. I hope this program has been a blessing to you. And I would like to say for anyone who is fighting to get out of addiction or to be released from a bad habit, that a great scripture to quote is the one that says, sin no longer has dominion over you. Just confess that. Sin no longer has dominion over me. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio tonight. We hope that you have been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any church or nonprofit organization.